Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together.
On a Tuesday afternoon, and it's hot and muggy, and hey, that's your weather forecast for Greensboro, which is about two-thirds of the southeastern United States, I think. So welcome to the Journey 8, and we're going to do a little bit different today. We're going to start out, I had promised you a couple weeks ago that we were going to do something in the way of a game. And I finally pulled it together. And it's going to be very similar to what you used to play on a board called Trivial Pursuit. Except, of course, this is going to be a Bible version. And how this will work for all of you out there who might be listening is that when you go to my webpage, which I will give you in a few moments, there will be each week a series of 10 questions, and we're going to go week by week until Advent, which is right around the Christmas holidays, and we're just going to compile the score on a chart, and we're going to see how many of you can answer these questions. And the way it's going to run is that you will not only have to fill in the answer, but tell me the scripture where you found that answer. So, for instance, I may have something in the way of, Fred begat Sam, and Sam begat Sarah, and Sarah begat and begat and begat. And you're going to have to tell me all those names, if you can, or some of them, and which scripture. Now, that was an easy one because that's numbers, but something to that effect. And how we'll do this, since I have no sponsors I'm limited, but we're going to make sure that first, second, and third persons have some kind of a nice plaque, and hopefully every year we'll have a Trivial Pursuit playoff. So that's how it's going to go, Bible Pursuit. We'll have 10 questions, if there is a tie, then I'll decide what I want to do at that time. No, that's we'll figure it out. But so you will go to my personal webpage where you find all the scripture references and stuff for the sermons, and that is www.closerwalkwithyou.com, and I believe that's on my BBS page also. So closerwalkwithyou.com, and in there will be a tabbed page for Trivial Pursuit or Bible Pursuit, and have at it. How you will answer those is that you're going to send me an email, or I may have a chart for you, actually, where you can just identify yourself by some kind of a username and password, and we'll go from there. I'm the computer genius. I guess I'll figure it out. So that's Bible Pursuit. I'm Bible Trivia. I'm kind of anxious to see how many people actually respond. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is there is a toll-free number you can call in to ask me a question when I am online. If you wish to, I don't want you to feel that if you have a question that you cannot call in. And of course, my piece of paper just flew. Mr. Engineer, can you tell me that phone number? Okay, he's looking at it. But anyway, you can go to the bbsradio.com. Page. There it is. And it's area code 888. It flew away. Flip it over to me again. We'll get there, honest. Even the big guys have these kind of fun. 888-627-6008. And if you call that number, you can ask me a question. And we'll do our best to answer it. Okay, so that takes care of Bible trivia, the 800 number. I'll promise to keep my sticky note stuck better so I can see it. And we're going to go on to a couple other things before we get into the message. I wanted to remind you, a couple weeks ago, we had a young lady on by the name of Jen Phipps Quisenberry. She is the young lady who is going to Mozambique, Africa in October for missionary work. She's going to an orphanage and she's going to play for a couple weeks, I guess, with children, which is a passion of hers. We ask that those of you who can, if you would like to donate towards her trip, she has a GoFundMe page, and you can find that by just going to GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com, and look up Jen Phipps, and the last name is Phipps. And you'll see a heavy metal rocker, but don't let that faze you. She's quite the missionary. And on that page will be instructions on how you can donate for her trip to Mozambique. I understand there are no McDonald's or Burger Kings out there, so we're trying to make sure she's covered. Also, last but not least, and then we'll get down to the nitty-gritty. Okay, maybe not. Well, maybe. Okay. Next week, I've been waiting for a little while to speak to this gentleman. His name is Robert Kopecky, and he has written a book called How to Survive Life and Death. And I am anxious to hear from him next week. We're going to spend a chunk of time with him. This book is about his personal experience of near death three times. And I have read about half the book now, so I will be hopefully prepared by next week. And I encourage you, if you are listening next week at 3 p.m. Eastern time, noon Pacific time, you got some questions, I'm sure he'll be glad to field them for you. So, nice gentleman by the name of Robert Kopecky. And I'm anxious to see what all he, or finished reading about what all he saw and did. And let's see what else we have coming up. Quite a few people. We're getting our fall time rush. And getting ready to lead into the Christmas holidays. I've had a couple of you email me on a follow-up to my Christmas album I am recording this year. And I am hoping that that will be out by Thanksgiving, if not the week before. And I will give you instructions later on how you can go about receiving that. I do not ask for money directly for any of my record albums. I ask for certain charities. If you wish to donate what you would pay for a CD to a charity. So I'll have that information put out in a pamphlet. I think the marketing people are working on that for me as we speak. All right. I think I'm done. Let me stop and pull myself together here, because in the midst of all these rainstorms, I've been in and out of power. Let's see what we have here. We got Mr. Kopecky. And all right. So The last few weeks, we have been speaking from the New Testament. And I worked diligently on a sermon that I was going to give you today. But as you know, when the God phone rings, you cannot refuse to answer because he'll just keep calling you. It's like a nasty used car salesman. Anyway, so I was led to pull a sermon I did, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, a few years ago, not too long ago. And it was about, it was basically about why are you crying? And in fact, that's why I titled it. Now, before I give this scripture reference, I will always tell you my safety warning. No truck drivers, pilots, crane operators, train operators, or women trying to put their makeup on while driving should look for this scripture reference. Wait till you get home. You can find it on the webpage. All the rest of you, grab your Kindles, your smartphones, your iPads, your iPhones, your... For those of you that are still like me and live in the backwards years, your Bibles, and crack them open to Exodus, second book of the Bible. Yeah. We're going backwards. We're jumping out of the New Testament and going back a few years. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to pick up at verse, excuse me just one minute while I try and find my mouse. Yes, there it is. We're going to start at, verse 10 through 14. And end with verse 15. So here we go. I'm going to read to you from my favorite version, or one of my favorite versions of the Bible, and that is the New International Version. And we're going to pick up at chapter 10. Now, just for a little background, verse 10. The book of Exodus is, of course, exactly that, the book of the Israelites exiting Egypt with Pharaoh hot on their heels. This is where you find the 10 plagues and the original Passover and all that there stuff. So in chapter 14, the Israelites have left Egypt. And they're hightailing it out of there, and they're headed for the wilderness. And they're headed for the wilderness because Moses is leading them, and men don't ask for directions. No, that's not right. they're headed for the wilderness. And so in verse 10, we have them backed up against the Red Sea with Pharaoh approaching. And here we go. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." They're just all kinds of full of good news, aren't they? Verse 13, Moses answers the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. The Egyptians you will see today, you will never see again." Verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And the last verse, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Why are you crying to me? Tell the Israelites to move on.'" So that is the title of the The message today, why are you crying? So again, setting the text, we've got the little crybaby Israelites trying to do the guilt trip on Moses. And, you know, they've only marched a couple days. It's not like they've been there for the 40 years yet. Marched a couple days, they suddenly seem to be stopped in their journey. The Bible records that they're encamped by the Red Sea. So you got the sea on one side, you got the mountains on the other, and here comes good old Pharaoh, right up your rooster tail. So they're looking at this and going, yeah, on the surface, not looking too great. For all practical purposes, there was no way out. But in the midst of chaos, and we know this to be true over and over again, in the midst of chaos and confusion, the people come crying to Moses. There's always somebody for us to go crying to, right? If it's not Moses, it's, you know, somebody. So they cry out and they said, God, you know, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? I mean, this is crazy. And so Moses, of course, goes crying to God. You know, it's that trickle-up theory instead of trickle-down. And, of course, he goes to God and he says, I don't know what to do, but these people are about ready to stone me. So, you know, what is it? You know, God, give me a clue here. So the bottom line is, I trusted you, God, to deliver us. And I ain't feeling so delivered right at the moment. But, you know, if you look through the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you know, you got Moses, then you got David, who in despair says, I'll perish at the hands of Saul. You got Elijah, who hides in a cave and asks to die. It's like today's soap operas have nothing on the Old Testament, I think. You know, just read in there and, you know, kind of craziness. If we are Christians, we have trusted him to save us from sin. I'm talking about God, of course. But all too often, we will not trust him with our circumstances. Yeah. So there's lots of things that cause us not to trust. These are just my five, top five, shall we say. We are diagnosed with a disease for which there is no cure. I stop trusting you, God. Number two, we have more months than we do money. I stop trusting you, God. We have a child who refuses to do the right thing. Stop trusting you, God. We have a spouse that has rejected us. Skid, stop trusting you, God. Number five, we lose our job. Don't trust you, God. Problem with that is that God comes back, and we're going to flip to Moses. God tells Moses, there's not one thing to do but to get up and go forward. Go forward. I didn't bring you out to take you back. I didn't bring you out to leave you now. And I didn't bring you out to camp here. So put out the fires, load up the babies, and go forward. Now, this sounds pretty preposterous considering that forward is the Red Sea. God reminds him there is nothing to go back to at all. All that's left is to go forward. So I was thinking about that. And I think 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years later, the Lord probably could say the same thing to me today. There's nothing to go back to. Go forward. If you go back, you'll be destroyed or have to return to slavery. I wasn't a slave, but, I was a slave. Alcohol. The best thing for you to do is go forward. Whenever I have someone who comes to me and says, I don't know what to do, my life's falling apart, I feel out of control, I don't, you know, I'm just go forward. Don't go back. To the church, the Lord would say, and I speak of the church universal, not any particular one, the fields are white unto harvest. What I want you to do is rise up and go do the things I've called you to do, the things I've asked you to do. Forget the past. Forget Egypt. Forget the pain and agony of the past. Bury it. Go forward. I think that applies to us in personal life, just as in church life. You know, churches get caught up. And I always say this, they major in minors sometimes. We get caught up in the drama of the drama. Forget it. Go forward. Same thing to individuals. I'm sure the Lord would look at you right now, and I'm sure he does look at you right now and says, stop sleeping and being lazy. Stop wallowing in your pity. Get up and go forward. Stop enjoying where you are, you know? Stop being content. You're all fat, dumb, happy. Go forward. Before the church can go forward, you as an individual have to go forward. You are the church. Church is not four walls. Church is not that pretty steeple. You are the church. So the church cannot go forward if you don't go forward first. Have you ever heard people sit around and complain because the church is too dry or cold, needs a revival? We need a revival. We never seem to be concerned to let revival, you know, they want revivals. Do they want to start it? Do they want to organize it? Do they want to make sure people come out? No, they just want a revival. Get up out of your chair. Make it happen. Go forward. Why are you crying to me? We're in a new millennium. And the way things are going, I can't believe that it's going to be long before the Lord comes back and says, okay, done. Let's go forward. So I don't think now is the time for us to get lazy. That's just my personal opinion. Now is not the time to be satisfied with where we are. Now is not the time to put our stakes deeper. Now is the time to raise up and go forward. You know, I had a doctor tell me recently that, like most middle-aged people, I need to lose weight. You know, your heart's not the greatest. Your lungs... Yeah, you could stand with losing a few pounds. Well, that's true. Most of us could. And I sat there, and I thought about that. And then I said, well, I guess sitting here isn't going to do anything. And I say the same to everybody. It won't go away by itself. Get up and go forward. So getting up and going forward is the mantra, shall we say. Let me see how that works. Because spending 6 days in the hospital being bored, trying to help the nurses do their rounds, that doesn't work. You know? Better be home. Not the church as the church conglomerate, shall we say. Job to move the church forward. We're the momentum. We're the engine. We're the power drivetrain. And if we are not moving forward in our ministries, individual, then the church as a unit cannot move forward. You know? And until Jesus comes, that should be our train of thought as Christians. Moving forward, don't look back. You cannot change. I had a very wise person tell me this, and I'm sure that person knows who they are. You cannot change a thing about what happened 5 minutes ago. You cannot keep 5 minutes from now from happening. You can control the present. And in the present, you have two choices. You can live and move forward, or you can stay stagnant, of which the next 5 minutes will be the same, and the next 5 minutes will be the same. So if you move forward, don't think of the past, don't think of the future. It's amazing what will happen. Try it sometimes. I was amazed. I'm not so good at it yet. It takes a lot of practice. I always want to slide back into the, oh, it's more comfortable to do it this way. I've always done it this way. Yeah, like I said, many had rather stay where they are. Yeah, pitch a pup tent, make a little campfire, find a little hot dogs and marshmallows. I'm comfortable here, God. I'm going to take the phone off the hook. God phone going off the hook. But God calls us out of our comfort zones. And oh, brother, does he. And calling us out of these places where we have camped out and wants us to go forward. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. If the Israelites would have stayed right where they were, saying, what are we going to do? We're up against the Red Sea. Then, yeah, Pharaoh would have came and there would have been no Israel nation. That would have been it. They would have been wiped out. Instead, they went forward on the faith that God was going to provide a way. And the water parted, they went in, and the rest is history. You know, the reason why God calls us out of our comfort zone is not so much to make us, you know, itchy like poison ivy. It's to give us an opportunity to grow. You cannot grow if you are seated in that seat or by that campfire every day. You cannot grow emotionally. You may be able to grow in knowledge thanks to computers, but what will that do for you? God says, I want you to know me. I want you to know everything. And I want you to grow, and I want you to go forward. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. You know? You might be asking, but Pastor, why do we need to go forward? Why is going forward so important? Well, it's vitally important, and here's the reason why. Let's take verse 10, right from today's lesson. It's a perfect example, I think. Verse 10, Pharaoh's approaching. Here comes the bad guys. The Israelites are looking up, and they were sore afraid. They were terrified. Well, yeah, why is that? Because when you fail to go forward, the first thing you're going to do is stop walking by faith and start living by fear. The minute you stop going forward, you stop making progress in your spiritual walk. The next thing you know, you will find yourself no longer walking in faith, but living in fear. Instead of putting your trust in God and His Word, you'll begin to believe more lies. Lies of the devil, you know, lies of the one that would have you fail. Put fear and sickness and death and bankruptcy and failure with a capital F and other things into your life. Why? Because if you're bound in the fear and he keeps piling it on, oh my God, here's another bill I didn't expect. Oh my God, the phones are turned off. Well, like electricity is going to be turned off next week. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Go forward. Somehow, some way, as long as you're a moving target, Satan can't get you because you will be clothed in the armor of God. And that's a promise. And I don't know of any promises God's had broken yet. So when they came out of Egypt that day and they were, you know, going forward to the promised land, there wasn't a speck of fear in their heart. When the gates opened and Pharaoh let them out originally, they were happy. It was party time. It was tambourines going and people are, you know, and horses and cows and I don't know if they have horses, but anyway, those kind of animals are just having a great time. Now, they have a few days into the trip, and lo and behold, they're already saying, I want to go back. You know, I don't know, but I think, you know, there'd be something other than going back to slavery that I'd want. That's for sure. Like, I'd jump in the sea. So here we are. There are a bunch of little sheep crying and wailing in the wilderness, you know, filled with fear. And, you know, not knowing which way to go. And they're looking at Moses and saying, what'd you do here? You made us. You made us leave our comfortable slavery. And now we're out here and we're going to drown, right? Or be slaughtered. If you're listening today and you're filled with fear, I would say that's a good sign that you've stopped in your spiritual journey. And you're not moving forward. Somewhere along the way, you've camped by the sea and faith is being replaced with fear. Unless you pull up the stakes and move again, you're in serious trouble. How easy is it to enjoy where we are? To be satisfied where we are? You know, the old fat, dumb, and happy thing. But that is not what God wants for us. That's not his plan. He wants to replace the fear with faith. And that comes by going forward. Drive, not are. So the second thing, complaints. You know, when they get stuck, and when you get stuck, I don't know about you, me, when I get stuck and I'm confused about something or I'm not making progress, what do I start doing? And usually it's to myself, not necessarily to anybody. I'm murmuring and complaining under my breath. I don't know, and if I wasn't here, I could be doing this. And if my legs worked, I could do this. It wasn't long before the fear replaced faith and the complaining set in. You know, you're there, Moses, it's all your fault. You know, it's more often than not, human nature takes over. And in the midst of fear, we always look for the closest target. Who is the person closest to us with a red circle and a little arrow saying, shoot me. Yeah. Instead of being a marching victorious army, they were standing there murmuring and complaining against Moses and God like a bunch of little, you know, preschoolers. Well, I don't know. I can't remember back that far. I don't even know if they had preschool. Shoot, we were still using chalkboards back then. I don't think we had paper. Not that far. When you are spending time in prayer and God is making progress in your spiritual journey, there's no room for complaining. What do you have to complain about? First of all, here's my experience. It doesn't mean anything to complain. I complain. Yeah. It does mean something if that's your continual set of mind. If all you do from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep is complain, then something is wrong. Life isn't always pleasant. You know, that's not, you know, from the moment that apple was eaten or whatever story you want, you know, we done did ourselves in. But when you're going forward with your eye on the promised land, you don't have time to stop and murmur and complain because you're too busy walking. You're too busy moving. Oh, yeah. And then the third one, backsliding. You know? Like I said, okay, we're up against the sea and the mountains. Why don't you just take us back? Take us back to Egypt and we'll just, you know, take our licks and we'll pretend this never happened. We'd be better off in Egypt. There's a lot wrong with that on many different levels, but that train of thought, which we have today, you look at your spouse and you say, you know what? Not working for me. Let's go back to before. Or, you know what? This house and stuff is just way too much for me. I'm checking out. I'm going back to being single again. That was much more fun. Why would anyone want to go back to that? You know, but anyway, I'm using that as an example. Same thing here. Why would anyone want to go back to Egypt? Bondage, slavery. My gosh. Yet we have a lot of people looking over their shoulders. A lot are looking to the left and right. You know, why? Because they've stopped going forward and they're looking for direction. They're saying, well, I don't know. Guess I'll go back to the way I was. When the past looks better than the future, you've stopped in your tracks. And if you turn to me and you say, I have no future, or I don't have a job, therefore my future is due, I say, no, there's something waiting for you. Have faith. Go forward. Keep moving. It's going to happen. So, you know, you can apply this story, you know, even though it's Old Testament, you know, and rarely do I teach from the Old Testament. But there are a lot of good lessons, and this particular section of the whole big story of Moses is interesting because you can bring it right into the 21st century. You know, take out the Pharaoh and the chariots and put in, you know, Corvettes and slick dudes. And you got the same thing, you know? You got the same kind of scenario. I don't know what to do, and it's your fault. It's your fault, Mom. It's your fault, Pastor. You didn't teach me well enough in Sunday school. I'm just going to go back to being whatever. Okay? We stopped going forward. You will start going backwards. And I don't know about you, but backwards for me was an awful place. You know, I have 32 years of sobriety. I wouldn't want to go back 32 years from now. You find yourself missing some of the things of the past, finding yourself you want to go back and do some of the things you used to do. Remember, that's a good sign that you've done frozen your tracks. When the past looks better than the future, you got a problem. Not a good place to be. Everybody has good memories, don't get me wrong. All of us have good memories of the past. We really do. I have wonderful memories of the past. I have some pretty darn awful ones too. And it took a long time for me to put my feet on the right road and figure out, hey, I can't keep ignoring this God phone thing. He's driving me nuts. He's like a Fuller Brush salesman. You know, it took Moses looking at the people after he cried to God. God said, here's what you're going to tell them. Fear not. Two words. Fear not. You know, there is a lot of things in this world to fear. And they're real. I'm not so naive as to tell you that, you know, there isn't a lot of stuff to be afraid of and a lot of people to be afraid of. And, you know, life isn't a bowl of cherries sometimes. But you can sit and look at the pits, or you can say, boy, those cherries were pretty darn good, weren't they? Yeah. You can say, I wish I had more. Or you can say, those are good. You know what? That's more than what most get. I think I'll mosey on my way, you know? Moses said to them, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And when he shows you, move forward. You know, moving forward doesn't mean running. Moving forward doesn't mean put blinders on and ignore what's happening around you. And moving forward definitely doesn't mean walking over others. Moving forward is mostly in the way that I use it in this, my understanding of this particular story is that you are moving in faith. You're growing. You are moving forward. That's symbolic. I mean, it's symbolic of your feet moving and actually going somewhere. I'm more concerned about your faith and your relationship with God. How do you understand God to be? You know, don't sit there and say, I did confession yesterday. Well, that's not moving forward. That's, you know, talking about the past. Faith is only faith if you act on it. I have a lot of people tell me, I wish I had the faith that you have. I think I've mentioned this before. Well, I don't see myself as anyone who has any more faith than the next person. Do I act upon my faith stronger than some? Probably. Do I rely on my faith? Yes. Am I hindering anyone, or am I being foolish? It's not my faith that makes me foolish. It's my, you know, personal fallacies. But, you know, faith has little to do with computers and things like that. If you don't move forward in your faith, you will never see the prize at the end. You'll never see it. You'll never get there. You know? And if you're how many times have you been standing in let's say, Walmart's, and the person in line in front of you is obviously got their feet stuck to the floor, and they cannot get out of your way no matter what you do. And so you're tempted to roll over them with your basket. Now, I'm not advocating that you should do that. That is not what I'm advocating at all. But that's how you feel, and feelings don't have to be real. But this person is stuck right there. They're looking at the latest tabloid thing, and the checkout clerk is going, now serving number. Yeah. If you're not acting on your faith and you're stuck where you're at, guess what? You're hindering somebody else behind you from going forward. So, you know, as frustrated as I get sometimes, I'm not a shopper. I'm probably the only woman in the face of the earth that's not a shopper. I don't know. Maybe there's other out there. I go, I come, I go, I have my list, I get what I want, and I am out of there. Why? Because there are awful bad drivers in stores. Have you ever noticed that? You think there's bad drivers on the street? You put somebody behind a cart while they're being distracted by the ice cream in the freezer? I don't know. Can't tell you how many times my little size 6 feet have been run over. And I have to smile and say, okay, go forward, look forward. Point in the right direction. If you're not going forward, you are keeping somebody from going forward who is behind you. Yeah. Moms and dad, there are children just waiting for you to stop fussing and get back to the right path and start moving forward. I'm not going to even expound on that. If you are a, now Ashley, 87 times, then you are not moving forward with that child. After the second now Ashley, you have been turned off. I wonder how many are standing behind us. Us being the conglomerate, church, universal, whatever you want to use. People at Kmart. People at the movie theater waiting for us to make the right move, take the right step, and get out of their way so they can buy their popcorn. Now, I'll be the first one to tell you, you should not use somebody else's inability to move to keep you from moving emotionally, spiritually, physically. Go around them. Go around them. And I don't mean that in a hierarchical way. I just mean that if they're standing in the middle of the floor and their feet are glued there and you need to move forward, then do it. Don't use them as the excuse. Don't use your mother as an excuse, your father, your car that's broke down, you don't make enough money, you wish your dog wouldn't have bit you, a reason to not move forward. Move around it. And don't put your hand in the dog's mouth and you won't get bit. Okay? I mean, don't you think? When you fail to go forward, you also fail to see any of God's miracles waiting for you. You're too busy sitting there at your campsite. Right? So the whole idea is we're sitting and waiting for God to say, okay, come on now. I'll take a left turn, go about a half mile down the street, turn right. No, it's backwards. No, that's all wrong. God says, take me at my word. If you step out on the water, I will make sure you don't drown. You have to step out of the boat and go forward to know that. Sitting in the boat and assuming, maybe. So what is God's will for the church? What's God's will for you? You can wait for the trumpets to sound. You can wait for the red carpet to roll out. You can wait for all the movie stars to line up and ask for your autograph. Or you can say, I'm just Reverend Hosner, and I don't need to sign any autographs today, and I'm moving forward. And I have the faith and confidence that as I move, God will tell me where I'm going. Now, I'm not advocating for all of you who want to just hit Route 66 and go. This is more of a terrible kind of thing, I guess. You can say, I'm moving forward, God. Let's take it to the next level, shall we? I'm kind of bored here. Let's crank it up a notch. And I would probably guarantee that God's going to come back in whichever way you hear him or her or it or whatever, them, and say, yeah, let's do it. Let's go forward. Wow. I actually remembered that from 25 years ago. It's amazing sometimes. So I want to close with a reminder again that next week is a really neat guy, Robert Kopecky. If you have not gotten his book, it is out there. It's called How to Survive Life and Death. And we'll see what Mr. Kopecky has to say about surviving life and death. And that's it for this week. Go to my webpage tomorrow and get your trivia questions, your Bible trivia. They will be there. www.closerwalkwithyou.com. Amen.